Amen. 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 Thank God today for your grace and your mercy that look beyond my faults. I wish I had some real folk in here today that look beyond my fault and saw every one of our needs. Amen. That doesn't mean much to those who have lived right all of your life. But for those of us who've had some missteps and some mishaps, you know we're only here today because of God's amazing grace. Amen. Amen. There's a passage of scripture I want to lift. The book of Joshua. Amen. Chapter 2. Amen. Joshua chapter 2. Give me a little volume, man. Give me a little volume in the back. Just a little volume. Amen. Beginning at verse number 1. I don't want to strain. I've got another service this afternoon. So as I told you, I hope you shouted earlier. Amen. Because we're just going to kind of talk and reason here this morning. Joshua chapter 2, verse number 1. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out Shittim, two men, to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are in and into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting the gate, when it was dark, and the men went out, whether the men went, I want not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order under the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they were pursued after them, were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is falling upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how low the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the kings, two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Shihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither there remained any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brother and my sisters and all they that have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there thee 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward that ye may go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this time of oath, for thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, that thou hast bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. Amen. Amen. Before you sit down, let me whisper a word of prayer. God, we pray now that you would touch the young person who just fainted. God, we pray that you would touch, heal, and deliver as only you can. God, we entrust her into your hands because, God, you're capable and you're able. So God, we claim it done right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to. I want to start a series of sermons today. I don't know how long it's going to go, but as long as the Lord says preach on it, I'll preach on it. But I want to start a series of sermons today entitled, God Uses Misfits. God uses misfits. All of us in here today got something crooked in us. Something bent in us. Something wrong in us. And since we all have a problem, we all come to the same place. We come to this church on Sunday morning not because we are holy, not because we are righteous or that we're better than anybody else, but because we know we need God to straighten us out. And we need God to do it this Sunday, the next Sunday, the next Sunday, and the next Sunday, because we are just misfits. We're out of sorts without the Holy Christ. But I'm glad today that we serve a God who uses misfits. And I want to show you in these series of sermons how God uses misfits like you and I, how he uses imperfect people to complete a perfect work. In the text, the outcast, the misfit this morning is a prostitute named Rahab. Joshua chapter 2 is one of the most exciting salvation stories in all of the Old Testament. Rahab is a demonstration of the power of God to change lives. What I want you to take away from this message is that this is an immoral pagan woman. She would never have been considered a candidate for God's rescuing grace in this place, for God was about to bring judgment on Jericho. Yet she and her family are the ones rescued when Jericho is destroyed. It's an example of God's compassion and God's response to the faith of an immoral woman. Look at Rahab's failure. Verse 1 tells us what and who Rahab is. Rahab is a harlot. She was a shady lady. She was a prostitute. She was engaged in a wicked lifestyle, selling her body to men for money. Her life was one of deep depravity and wickedness. Some Bible translators have tried to redeem Rahab by saying the word harlot means innkeeper. That is a translation of the word harlot, but that's not the translation of the lifestyle of Rahab. Because when you read Hebrews chapter 11 and James chapter 2, they call Rahab what she was. She was a prostitute. Rahab is a picture of every person in here who is lost and without Christ. Without Christ, your life is defiled. It does not have to be a prostitute, but if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're just as lost as a prostitute. You're just as lost as a drug dealer. You're just as lost as a thief. You don't have to be a prostitute to be lost. Don't look down on Rahab. Whatever state of lostness you're in is still lost. There's no degree of loss. Loss is just loss because, listen, you can't tell who's lost in here by how they look. Because lost folk don't look lost. They look just as good as you do. They look just as intelligent as you look. They shout as loud as you shout. How many know you can't always tell who's lost by the way they look? But without Jesus Christ, you might as well be a prostitute because all of us are still lost. Not only was Rahab defiled, not only is a person defiled here who does not know Jesus Christ, but Rahab was spiritually dead. When you're dead, listen, you can't hear the things of God. You can't be moved by the things of God. You don't get excited over the things of God. Just like, I'm looking at some dead folk in here now. I see some dead folk in here this morning. You hadn't smiled yet. You hadn't lifted your hands yet. You hadn't told God thank you. He kept you all night last night. You could have been dead, but God's given you. Listen, God's been good to you in spite of you. And you sit in his presence alive physically, but dead spiritually. If Christ has made you alive spiritually, it ought to manifest itself in your worship and praise toward him. Dead folk can't shout. Dead folk can't give God glory. Dead folk can't tell God thank you. But if God has rescued you, if God has healed you, if God has put money in your pocket, food on your table, clothes on your back, joy in your heart, your response ought to be to let your neighbor know that I'm alive. The person sitting next to you ought not be able to sleep through the entire sermon. Your praise, your worship should be so oratorically profound, it ought to wake up your neighbor. Translated, you ought to praise so loud, so genuine that it affects your neighbor to the point that it becomes contagious. As a matter of fact, I see some of y'all about to go to sleep in here right now. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, God's been good to me. And I can't come to church and go to sleep. I came to give him praise. I'm going to praise him so loudly that I'm going to keep you woke the whole service. And you might want to move somewhere else because God's been good to me. When Jesus is real to you, you realize until you met him, you were dead in your sins like Rahab, and now you've met him, you've got to let somebody know about it. Not only was Rahab dead, but Rahab was also doomed. For she lived in a city that had been tagged for demolition. It was prophesied in Deuteronomy that Jericho was going to fall. The children of Israel, you remember, Moses sent out 12 spies. 10 came back with a minority report. 10 of them said, we can't take the city. They are giants in that land. We look like grasshoppers in their eyes. My question is, how can you know how you look in someone else's eyes unless you look like that in your own eyes? And the problem with some of us is that we don't look like very much in our own eyes. You've got to know who you are and whose you are. We look like grasshoppers in their eyes. But Joshua and Caleb said, we can possess the land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's got pomegranates. It's a good land. We can possess the land. And how many know that we can possess this land right here in Meadowbrook? We can possess the land, but you got to see yourself doing it. And we need some folk with an I can do spirit who are willing to do what seems impossible, because we serve a God who can make the impossible possible. We can possess the land because God is on our side. Joshua sends a reconnaissance group to spy out the land. He sends them to Canaan. When they get there, they show up at Rahab's house. And brother preachers, I believe the reason they show up at Rahab's house is because it would not look strange for men to show up at Rahab's house. They are spies in enemy territory. They can't go everywhere in the city, so they go where folk will least expect them and suspect them. It was not strange for men to show up at Rahab's house. Nobody would expect them being on a mission from God at a prostitute's house. And that's why you got to be careful about thinking the worst of folk when you see them at certain places. I wish I had a witness in here today. Why is it we automatically think the worst? Why is it that we assume they're up to no good? They are at a prostitute's house, but they are on a mission from God. Every man, every woman that's talking is not of sexual connotation. We're in an age now, we're in a culture where you can't be friends with somebody unless somebody is thinking something is going on. That must be what they got in their mind. And that's what you would do if you had the opportunity. And I'm almost to the point now where I don't want to hug nobody. Because I don't want it to be all over Facebook. But I wish I had a witness in here today. That folk are so judgmental and folk are so small. Pastor sure held on to her a long time. Y'all see how long he was holding her hand? We better watch her. I know I'm telling the truth. But nobody would suspect that these men as being spies by going into Rahab's house, because that's her trade. Men come in the front door, one goes out the back door. They are accustomed to men and out of there, so nobody would suspect that they are on a mission from God at Rahab's house. But she's a prostitute whose heart God had already touched. And I think I need to tell somebody in here today, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. If you open your heart, God can touch you. Can anybody be a witness that God can change your heart? You don't believe me? Ask David, who said, create in me, O God, a clean heart and renew within me a right spirit. Listen. We come here on Sunday morning. Most of us are cleaner than chitlins on New Year's Day. But our hearts are dirty. We show up on Sunday morning sharper than a rat turd, sharp on both ends, but our hearts are dirty. But God can change your heart if you let him. In verses 2 through 11, I want you to see Rahab's freedom. In verse 1 are her failures. Verse 2 through 11 is her freedom, especially where Rahab, a prostitute, a pagan woman. Let me tell you what Rahab does not have. Can I tell you what she does not have? Rahab does not have a Bible. She does not have a church home. She does not have a pastor. She does not have her name on the church roll. She is not a choir member. She's not on usher board number one. All she has is a heart open to God. And God does not care about your church membership if he don't open your heart. God wants your heart. Because I've discovered you could be in church and be lost. Do I have a witness in here today that everybody sitting in here today is not saved? Everybody that look like a saint, shout like a saint, sing like a saint, could be a saint, but ain't everybody that come to church. Verse number 9, she says to the men, she says to the men in verse 9, she says, I know. She heard the message about Israel, God, I know. And if you're going to be saved, you can't talk about what they know. You've got to be able to say, I know. Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives. Anybody here knowing for yourself? I need 20, 30 people in here today that's not afraid and not ashamed to admit, Pastor, I know him. And the reason I know him is because he's real. Anybody know him? I think I'm in the wrong house today. I say, anybody, really? And you ought not be ashamed to act like Rahab. I'm not calling you a prostitute, but I need you to act like Rahab and stand up and say, I may not know everything, but I know one thing. I do know who Jesus Christ is. Oh, come on, if you know him, you ought not be ashamed to let somebody know him. Are there any Rahabs in the house who can say like she says, I know him? Not only does she say, I know him, but she says, we know. She said, we know him. Paul, listen. Paul says, we know that all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord, the called according to his purpose. It's not enough to say, I know, but you ought to be able to come here collectively and say, we know. Do we know who he is that keeps us and keeps on making a way? Do we know who it is that kept us all week long? Do we know who it is that keeps on blessing me over and over and over again? Rahab not only says, do I know, but we know. Heard the message, then she heeded the message, because it's not enough to hear, you've got to heed. Listen, what good is to hear something if you never act on it? A lot of us hear the message every Sunday morning, but we never act on what we've heard. When you heed what you've heard, it results in a life of service. She's never been to church, but she heard about the God of Israel, and she decided to put into action what she heard about him. A prostitute, a lady of the night, a street lady, a bad girl, a misfit. But she opened her heart to God. And God can use her. And if God can use a misfit like Rahab, surely God can use me. And that's good news to somebody who thought you were too bad for God to use. All it takes is for you to open up your heart. Do I have a witness in here? I wish I had somebody other than me can be a witness that if God can use me with my jacked up, toe up from the flow up self, God can use anybody. Come on, I need the real folk in here today who you didn't have it all together. As a matter of fact, you're still struggling. But despite that, God is still using you. Can I get some honest folk in here today who will admit to being a misfit, but despite your misfit self, God is still using you. And he's using an imperfect person to do a perfect will. And if you could stand up and testify, you'd say, he looked beyond my faults. All of us in here have a Rahab past. If you didn't do it, it was on your mind to do it. And so a man, so a woman thinketh, so is he. And that's why none of us can look down our nose at anybody else, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But by grace, we've come a mighty long way. Rahab said, I heard about your God, how he opened the Red Sea, and you went over on dry land. And then we heard about the Amorites were messing with y'all until they heard about your God. And before you even got inside the gates of the city, our hearts melted because we heard about the power of your God. And the reason maybe some of you don't shout and lift holy hands is because you don't know nothing about God's power. Somebody here has experienced the life-changing power of God through Jesus Christ. Somebody knows that he can lift up a bowed down head. God can answer prayers. God can open doors that were closed in your face. God can make your enemy your footstool. I tell you, God's got power. Anybody here know he's got power? Power to heal, power to mend, keeping power, saving power, delivering power. On the third day morning, he got up, but when he got up, he said, I got up with all power. I tell you, he's got power. That's power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Can I tell y'all how powerful he is? You in here this morning? That's power. Somebody ought to be shouting right now because you know where you've been, what you've done, what you did. But here you are in the Lord's house. How many know the Lord saved me? God's got some power. The Lord took me out of my mess. God's got some power. I wish I had some folk in here today to say, Pastor, you talking to me today? Because with everything I've done, God still saved me. Finally. Well, I want to look at Rahab's fulfillment. What God did in that prostitute is a miracle of love and grace. And what he did for Rahab, God can do for you. That's good news, isn't it? She was fulfilled in her labor. She got involved in the work of the Lord. And too many Mount Moriah members don't want to get involved in the Lord's work. Too many of us are what we call bench members. Don't get involved in the Lord's work. For some reason, you're standoffish. You stay on the outside, on the margins. You know how you are. Well, I've been hurt over there. So what? They too messy over. So what? Who you working for? You've been hurt on the job and the marriage and the family, but you're still working, still going home, still going to mom and daddy's house, but you won't work for the Lord. Shame on you. Only God can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. She involved herself in the work of the Lord. She hid the spies and covered up for them. She told a lie. Rahab lied. I mean, it's not a stretch to think that a prostitute would lie. Because you ain't prostituting. You still lie. A lie ain't nothing for us to tell. I wish I had a witness in here today. And it wasn't nothing for Rahab to tell. She's in corruption every day. She's drowning in morality. She's around that every day. So a lie is nothing for an immoral pagan woman to tell. That's what I love about the Bible. Listen, the Bible doesn't cover up nothing. The Bible doesn't sugarcoat nothing. It doesn't sanitize and disinfect who people are. The Bible tells it just like a T.I. is. And that's why we ought to tell it like it is. All of us in here got some skeletons in our closet, some lies we wish we could take back, some lies we wish we'd never told. Suppose you knew everybody knew everything you were thinking in the last 24 hours. Yeah, I'm talking to you. You. And y'all. Suppose your sins could be displayed on the monitors. I'd be the first one running out of the door. But I thank God for grace. I thank God for grace and mercy. Now, in no way does the Bible condone Rahab's lie. The Bible merely records it to show us that she's in good biblical company with other liars. Liars like Abraham. Liars like Isaac. Liars like David. Liars like Elisha. So if you're going to shout over Abraham's life and then can't shout over Rahab's life, something's wrong with you. Because a lie is a lie. But God loves a liar, and he can use anybody that will allow him to use you. And the fact is, all of us in here, as I close today, all of us in here kin to Rahab. Let me say that again. All of us in here are kin to Rahab. Can I prove it as I close today? Because somebody don't believe that. Read the genealogy in Matthew chapter 1. Rahab marries a man named Salmon. Rahab and Salmon had a boy named Boaz. Boaz married a Moabite pagan named Ruth. They had a boy named Obed. Obed had a boy named Jesse. Jesse had a boy named David. David had a boy named Solomon. Solomon and his wife Bathsheba that stole from Uriah. Solomon had a boy named Rehoboam. Rehoboam, Asa, and Jehoshaphat, Jerubbaal, all the way to Jesus Christ. But they started with a prostitute named Rahab. God can take anybody. God can take a nobody. And use them to spread his word. I know that because we're all in here today. Thank God he uses misfits like Rahab. But I thank God that he uses misfits today like Patrick Leon Turner. And y'all not gonna admit it, but listen, some of you in here today, you know you're a misfit. You know You hadn't been doing what the Lord said. You know that you are not living right. But God, look beyond your faults. Is there anybody here today can be a witness that if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? Anybody here today know the Lord picked you up, turned you around, placed your feet on a solid ground? Is there anybody here can thank God for saving me? Anybody here thank God for having mercy on me? Anybody here thank God for his amazing grace? If you don't mind today, take your neighbor by the hand. Say, neighbor, you see my glory, but neighbor, you don't know my story. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody. Can't nobody. If you're here today, maybe you're a misfit. Maybe you're an outcast. Maybe you think your life is so bad that God can't use you. Rahab shows us that God can use anybody that's willing to be used. Don't let nobody tell you that you're worthless. Don't let nobody tell you that out of all the things you've done that God won't accept you. Listen, because I'm not concerned about what people say. I'm concerned about what the Lord says. And if you're here today, maybe you've been cast out, cast down, looked down upon. The Lord says, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He says, you can find rest because my yoke is easy. My burden is light.